If you got a knife, because I can't get that knife. Unless you know how to get it out. Me and the mechanic couldn't get it out while ago. That's why the whole thing come up.
The next song needs no introduction.
The other day in rehearsal, Aretha began to sing. People the whole thing out.
When she got to the part that says, through many dangers.
They already got a work order, so I guess put them at bay on their work order.
Because never did we think, I think 20 years ago, that God would do great things for us. Can I get a witness here tonight?
Need an old flyer. She was one of these guys that need an old flyer. Putting on the work order. Alright. Go ahead and stick it. Go ahead and stick it on. You wanna do some horse tray?
Ah! And that same, that same old grain, they call it God's amazing. Oh, amazing. Amazing
this morning in verses 5, 6, and verse number 7. In the next worship, we will look at verses 8 through verse number 10, but for your consideration this morning, verses 5 through 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7 reads, casting all your care upon him, for he careth
for you. Thank you. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I want to talk a moment about how to endure tough times. How to endure tough times. The year is about AD 65, and Nero Claudius Caesar has been the emperor of Rome 11 years prior. And his reign started well. It was a season of wealth and prosperity. But then it became a time of bloodthirstiness, a time of great persecution. Nero had his own mother, Agrippina, murdered. And he is known to have set a part of the city of Rome on fire and blamed it on Christians because their God was a God of consuming fire. And they were known to have an incendiary fellowship. So he burned parts of Rome and used the Christians as scapegoats. It was a time of great trial, a time of immense suffering, days of severe persecution. And it's against that background, it's juxtaposed to that situation that Peter writes to the church of that day and the church of this day to endure persecution, to stand up under severe testing, to really be able to persevere in times of trial and fiery difficulties. Anybody can be Christians and sing songs when the sun is shining. It doesn't take much faith to give God glory when all your bills are paid. You don't have to be real strong to shout hallelujah when everything is well in your life. But when the bottom falls out, when sickness comes, when trials and difficulties come, when your health starts to fail, when your children break your heart, when persecution comes just because you're trying to do the right thing, when difficulties, tough times, hard days, long nights, it is then that your faith kicks in to let you know that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Those of us who read the Bible will remember the psalmist was struggling with that. And he said, my steps were almost gone. I wish I had a Bible reading. And my feet had well nigh slipped when I saw how the wicked were prospering and the righteous were suffering. I called on the Lord and I went to the left and I went to the right and God seemed distant and quiet and I did not get an answer until I went in the sanctuary. And brothers and sisters, the sanctuary doesn't necessarily have to be Lily Grove. Because if you are a child of God in your own house, I wish I had somebody to help me. In your office, in your classroom, in your wherever you are, you ought to set up a sanctuary. a secret place, or somewhere you can go and call on the Lord to get your perspective. This word this morning is for somebody going through tough times. For somebody struggling just to keep your head above water. You're smiling just to keep from crying. You're coming to church, but there's still some aches and pains in your body. You're doing the best you can, but you put one foot forward and two steps are made backwards. You're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life. And it looks like you've been praying and calling on the Lord and teaching Sunday school and reading the Bible and doing your devotion and listening to preaching. You're doing everything right, but you're still suffering. I've got some good news for you. Well, I got some bad news for you as well. Now, which one do you want first, the good news or the bad news? Well, let me give you the bad news first. You may not get out of it right away. But the good news is, he'll show up. Yes, he will. He will come through. And just because he hasn't come through already does not mean he's not coming through at all. The Lord will make a way. I wish I had one or two more witnesses who can help me testify that I've been down to my last dime. But the Lord stepped in right on time. I never thought I'd be where I am right now. But look where the Lord has brought me from. It's right here. It's right here. It's right here in verse 5 and verse number 6. Likewise, you young people who don't know anything. Now, you young people who have no life experience. Submit yourselves to the elder. I said it Tuesday night. We live in a time when people don't care about nothing old. They don't care about anything that's over 50. Because everything now is geared towards youth and excitement. And vigor and vitality. You got fools like Kanye West who's talking about running for president. And you can just be famous for being famous. Kim Kardashian and Khloe Kardashian haven't done anything. They haven't contributed anything. They're just famous for being famous. Paris Hilton and Nicki Minaj, all of these young people who bring nothing to the table, but they are celebrated by this society because we don't care about anything that's over 50. Folk with no life experience contribute to conversations of great impact and import who are just actors in Hollywood. They know nothing about life, but we hang on their every word. But the scripture tells us to guard against that, because when you don't have any life experience, you ought to listen to somebody who's been somewhere. Solomon, who was the wisest king who ever lived, spent an entire book, the book of Proverbs, trying to give wisdom to his young son, Rehoboam. But Rehoboam listened to some people with no life experience who destroyed the kingdom that God had set up. Because when you are unwise, you're headed towards destruction. When you don't listen to anybody, you're headed towards ruin. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves unto the elder. Not only should the younger ones submit to the elder among us, but all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Which leads me to surrender your will to God. Surrender your will to God. Everybody is seeking their own way. But the true child of God will learn to allow God to have preeminence, first place in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. Now, brothers and sisters, humility is a difficult garment to put on, but it's so becoming. Let me run that by you one more time. It's a difficult garment to put on, but it is so becoming to the child of God. To be clothed with humility means to tie yourself up in a garment of humility. It means to wear the apron of a slave. Peter would know this firsthand because the disciples were in the upper room getting ready to observe the supper. And it was the job of the slave, the lowliest in the room, to wash their feet while they reclined at table. They were getting ready to fellowship. And it was the job of the lowliest servant to get an apron, put it on, and wash their feet as they reclined at table. And nobody thought to do the customary foot washing. So Jesus arises from the supper, lays aside his garment, puts on the apron of a slave, and washes his disciples' feet as an example that no matter how high you think you are, don't ever be so high that you can't serve somebody. When you become a Christian and surrender your will to God, what you're saying to the Lord is, I have no will but your will. I have no plans but your plans. I have no desire but your desire. I have made myself a slave. That word slave in the text is the word bondservant, a doulos, a bondservant, which means one who is willingly subject but not in bondage. I am free, but I choose to be a slave. Now, all of us are slaves to something. The question this morning is, whose slave are you? Either you are a slave to sin, or you're a slave to godliness. And when you are a slave to God, to sin, you're in bondage. But when you're a slave to godliness, you've been set free to come back and be a slave. Let me run this by you one more time. When you are a slave to sin, you are in bondage because sin is a cruel master. But when you are the slave of Christ, you are free to come back and be a slave. He sets you free, but you love him so much that you come back to willingly make yourself a slave. The only folk who can shout right here is folk who believe that being in charge means being in control. But being in charge does not mean being in control. Because there's only one who's in control. I wish I had somebody to help me preach. You might be in charge of your little Sunday school class, or charge of your auxiliary, or in charge at your house. But when you come here, you better check your ego at the door. You better leave your supposed importance in the car. Because the only one here who deserves to be worshipped, who deserves to shout over his name, is God himself. And brothers and sisters, when you're free, you don't care who's looking at you. Somebody else's opinion doesn't bother you. When God sets you free, you're so comfortable in your skin. You're so happy just being you that you don't need my approval. You don't need some man's pat on the back. You don't need some woman. You don't need a job. You don't need a certain house. You don't have to be in a certain crowd. You don't have to drive a certain kind of car. You can be free enough to come back and be a slave. To submit, to surrender, means to place yourself under others. To submit means to willingly put yourself under others. But to resist means to shun that lowly estate. And the scripture says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Let me see if I can demonstrate. To submit means surrender. But to resist means to keep people and God at arm's length. Because I'm too big for these people. You know who I am. You know how many degrees I have. You know what kind of money I make. Do you know the important people who know my name? Somebody ought to help me talk here. It happens to me all the time. I go to Luby's because I like liver and onion. If you don't like it, I'm not making it a religion. I'm just saying I like liver and onion. And so I like how they cook it over there at Luby's. And so often, at least once a week, I'm in Luby's. And I can't get to my table without people wanting to shake my hand. I watch you every Sunday morning. Thank God for you. You are a gift to the body of Christ. And often, it gets on my nerves. Because I just want some liver and onions, some sweet tea, peach cobbler, and go on about my business. But it never fails that as soon as I walk in Luby's, people crowd around my table to shake my hand. And the Holy Spirit always convicts me that these people don't have to shake your hand. These people don't have to appreciate your ministry. You better take the time and humble yourself and be nice to these people, because you don't know what being nice, what kind of blessings that can bring your way. And every time I go to Luby's, somebody pays for my lunch. Now, I got plenty of money.
I can pay for my own lunch. But when you go out of your way to speak to people, you don't know what kind of blessings God will bring your way. Somebody ought to help me preach it. It's just nice to lower yourself and take the time to do what you don't feel like doing, because you don't know how God wants to bless you and through whom God wants to bless you. It's right here in the text. God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Under the irresistible hand of God. Because crying and complaining is not going to stop the trial. Murmuring and groaning is not going to move his hand. Because we are pilgrims with a purpose. And the purposes that God wants to work out in our lives may include trials, setbacks, heartbreak. I wish I had a witness here. It may mean that you have to stay sick a while. It may mean that you have to go through it a while. You're not going to come through it yet, because God has his mighty hand on you. And that hand on your life is so powerful, not to crush you down, but to get purpose out of you. Brothers and sisters, his hand is on his child to bring purpose out of you. Because in the text says, in due time, he will exalt you. That word due time is the word kairos, which is different from chronos. Chronos is chronological time, or time on a clock. But God does not move by time on a clock. God is above time. So chronos is time, chronological time, that we can mark by looking at a clock. But kairos means that God will get us out in his timing. Anybody here ever been through a trial? And for a moment it looked like it would never end. But now that you're on the other side of it, you have surrendered yourself to the mighty hand of God. That's what raising your hands in the church comes from. It means I've surrendered. I give up. God, my will is your will. My ways are your ways. My desires are your desires. Whatever you want me to do, I give up. I surrender. You can have my life. Take it and make it what you want it to be. And whenever you give up struggling, God will always bless you. Let me see if I can help you from the scripture. Jacob was a cheater, a trickster, and a liar. I wish I had a Bible reading. And the scripture says he stole his brother's blessing, tricked him out of his birthright, and ran away and thought he'd gotten away with it. But 20 years later, word on the street was Esau is coming. And the scripture says all night that night, Jacob wrestled with an angel. And the angel was really a pre-incarnate representation of God himself. Somebody ought to help me preach it. And they struggled all night. Because when you don't want to give up what you used to be to become what God is trying to make you, it's a struggle.
Let me just talk to some honest people in here today.
It's hard to give up what you like to get a hold of what God is trying to get you to love. Ever got a witness here? I love my sinful ways. I love my sinful trials. But the Lord is trying to bring me to another place. And to get me there is a struggle. Now, if you ain't struggling, that's because you ain't trying to get nowhere. But those of us here who are struggling can help me testify that every time I desire to do good, evil is always present. The good that I would do, I find myself not doing. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. If you're not struggling, that's because you're resisting.
You're trying to be a Christian in your strength. You're trying to be a Christian in your goodness. But those of us here who are struggling know we need grace. I said we need grace to humble us. Sometimes God got to take you all the way down before he can bring you back up again. Sometimes God got to take from you what you think you can't get along without to let you know he was there all the time. Sometimes you got to hit rock bottom before you find out who is the rock at the bottom. Sometimes all hell got to break loose in your life. It got to get so dark that the only thing you can do is look up and say, Father, I stretch. Have you been there? I said, have you been there? Have you been there? Have your sins weighed you down, but the Lord gave you grace. I need some folk here whose sin has embarrassed you, but God still picked you up, covered you, and stood you up on your feet. Don't you let these folk make you ashamed about your past. Your past gives you your testimony. If it had not been for the law, who was on my side?
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Here it is. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was not TSU, not Grambling or Prayer Review, not my job, not my income, not my friends, not my social structure. It was grace.
I need somebody here right now who knows something about the grace of God. Grace to catch you before you fall. Grace to open doors that were closed in your face. Grace to stand you up after you've had a difficult trial. Grace to make you come to church on Sunday morning and things are still not well in your situation. You still got problems, but you've got joy in your soul. You still got some situations, but that ain't stopped you yet. God's still opening doors. God's still been good to you. Because every time you get to a situation, he's right there to make a way out of nowhere. You're going to help me get to verse number 7, won't you? Verse number 7 says, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. That word care in the text is the word anxiety. And that word anxiety means to be pulled in all kinds of different directions. And that's what worry will do. It'll pull you in all kinds of directions. You got all kind of stuff on your mind. Your children are on your mind. Your health is on your mind. Your house is on your mind. Your old age is on your mind. Your retirement is on your mind. Your strength is on your mind. Your brother is on your mind. Your granddaughter is on your mind. Your trials are on your mind. How am I going to get this paid? How am I going to get that taken care of? How am I going to get that situation worked out? When is this thing ever going to turn around? When am I going to get my breakthrough? I see them over there and they don't ever go to church. And they always seem to buy a new car every 2 years or so. But here I am serving the Lord. And I got the same old beat down jalopy. But I'm going to go to church anyhow. Maybe this Sunday is going to be the Sunday that God turns it around. And then you come this Sunday and God doesn't turn it around. And you go back home and you're pulled in all kinds of directions. But here's what I want you to do. Cast your care. I said, cast your care. That word, cast your care, mean to place your cares. You remember on the triumphant entry, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem riding on an ass, and they took their garments and threw them on the donkey and threw them on the road, and Jesus triumphed. He rode on them. That's what cast your cares mean. Put it on Jesus and let him triumph over it. Put it on Jesus and let him ride over it. Here is the shout in the text. Your anxieties are pulling you in all these directions because you've got every worry that you can imagine. You got every care that you can imagine. You can just number how many things you are worried about this morning. But here is the shout in the text. With all the cares that you can number, God just got one care. You ready for it? With all the cares you have that you can number, God just has one care. You ready for the shout? With all the cares you can write down on a piece of paper, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, God just got one care. You ready for the shout? God just cares about one thing. You. You. That's all he cares about. That's all he's looking out for. That's all he's going to take care of. Come on, point to yourself and say, God is looking out for me. God cares about me.
Why don't you hug somebody? Why don't you encourage somebody and tell them God cares for you? God cares. God cares. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. And the joy, I know he's all right.
He cares. Come on, hug yourself. Because sometimes you got to encourage yourself. Sometimes you got to pat your own self on the back. Nobody else is looking at you. Nobody else cares about you. So you got to care about yourself. But if you don't even care about yourself, God cares for you. 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 God cares. God cares for you. God cares for you. God cares for you.
Back on a journey. The year was 1963. The place was Nutley, New Jersey, in the First Baptist Church where I pastored. And gathered there that evening was James Cleveland, the angelic choir. And I recall going to my pulpit and giving the folks a little spiritual advice before we sang. I said, when you get home, get your Bible. Read Mark, the 4th chapter. Starting at the 37th verse, going down to the 41st verse. And in the context of these verses, you will find a story of Jesus and his disciples as they commanded a boat and went out on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus got tired and went down in the hinder part of the ship and went to sleep. But while Jesus slept, the cosmic phenomena of the world broke loose. The sky got as black as 1,000 midnights down in a cypress swamp. The thunders rolled across the heavens. The lightning wrote her zigzag name on the bosom of the clouds. And the waters tossed and turned that little ship. And these men who thought they knew so much about the sea decided we better go get Jesus. And they went down and they shook Jesus. And Jesus got up, came up, stood on the ship, looked around, and chastised them first by saying, O ye of little faith, what are you so concerned about? And he raised his hand and said three words, peace, be still. The sun came out. The clouds dissipated. The thunder hushed his voice. The winds went back in his chambers and slammed the doors. The waters laid down like a baby and said, we're gonna hold you so you don't rock no more. Aren't
we like that. As long as we think we can handle our ship, we don't call on Jesus. But when the going get rough, when things get tough, we call on Jesus. And when they woke him up, somebody said, Reverend Roberts, what did they say? This is what they said. These are the words when they woke my Savior. They said this. What?
Master, the tempest is raging. Oh, the billows are tossing high. Oh, yes. The sky is all shallow, oh, with blackness. Oh, no. No shelter. Oh, hey. Ooh, in night.
But this is the point. Listen, listen.
That dark that we perish. Oh, how can I lie asleep? Oh, whoa. When it seemed like each moment is so madly threatening. Oh yes, Lord. Somebody know what they said. A grave. A grave. A grave. Oh, indeed. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Jesus.